Support for this podcast is brought to you by the Wyoming Humanities. We take a closer look at our human experiences and use stories to explore culture, history, and contemporary issues. You can find us on thinkwhy.org.
My grandmother was also part of helping my dad raise me and was always instilling kind of Native, specifically Navajo beliefs and spiritual protocol into our family.
Hello, I'm Emmy DeGrappa, and this is What's Your Why? Each week we bring you stories asking our guests the question why. We learn about their passion, why they do what they do, why should we care, and what can we learn? What better place to explore the human landscape than from the state known for its incredible landscapes, Wyoming? And what better organization than Wyoming Humanities? Serving our state for over 45 years, we share stories, ideas, and wisdom about the human experience. Welcome to What's Your Why? Today's episode is an interview with Anna Sukalarkis, a Native American artist. Anna is Navajo and Greek. She is an educator and an artist. Welcome, Anna.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Today we discuss your work as a Native American artist, your journey as an artist, and your why you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So let's first start out with your cultural background in being Navajo and Greek. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
So my grandfather came over from Crete at the beginning of the 20th century, made his journey just like a lot of other Europeans, and then worked his way through the U.S., New York, Chicago, Denver, and made his way down to New Mexico, and in the 50s opened up a restaurant, a Greek restaurant, kind of a diner in Gallup, New Mexico, and met my grandmother, who's Navajo. And that's kind of where that all kind of came from, was that long journey there.
Did you participate actively in both those cultures growing up?
It's really interesting because being raised predominantly by a single father, my dad didn't know much about his Greek heritage because his father had died young, but he was very active and always reminding us growing up that we were Greek, you know, that we were native, but we were also Greek. And, you know, even though he might not have a definitive answer of what that meant, it was always part of who we were. And it just was. You know, and then the Navajo part, we were, you know, very active growing up, always took part in ceremonies, different kind of coming of age ceremonies, those types of things, dances and whatnot. So it's always been a part of my life. My grandmother was also part of helping my dad raise me and was always instilling kind of Native, specifically Navajo beliefs and spiritual protocol into our family. So I feel like I had a really strong base kind of growing up within my Navajo identity. And then as I went off to college, I was the first one in my family to go back to Greece when I was, I think, around 20, 21, and went to Crete and met my family over there. So these are all my dad's first cousins. They're not distant relatives. And they just opened their arms and have welcomed us ever since and are just wonderful, wonderful people.
Oh, wow. And were you primarily raised on the reservation?
No. So I grew up off reservation mainly. My birthplace is Lawrence, Kansas. And so my dad was going to a kind of a tribal college in Lawrence and was out there when I was born and kind of grew up back and forth between there and New Mexico. So a little bit on the reservation. And then we moved to Taos, New Mexico when I was in high school. So it's been a mix of kind of urban and rural kind of youth. And then I moved out east for school.
Where did you go to school out east?
So I went to Dartmouth College in New Hampshire for my undergrad. I was a double major in studio art and Native American studies, and then lived in New York for a year just because I'd always wanted to. Went to Yale for my master's of fine art and sculpture.
And what made you decide to be an artist? What was your journey to become an artist?
So my father makes jewelry, Native American jewelry, kind of with a contemporary spin on it. And he was always, you know, making things in his shop. And he was also a contractor before he became an artist full time. And so he would take my brother and I to his work sites and, you know, we'd get all the scrap wood and some nails and a hammer and just start building things. So it became kind of second nature in me very early on to build things. You know, I wasn't kind of the adept, like, realistic drawer when I was young or painter or anything, but I could build anything. And I felt so, like, really confident in my skills in terms of three-dimensional work. And so I think it was a really, really a natural progression for me to kind of find different materials and kind of do things with them. And then as I got older, to really cultivate a voice and, you know, of what I wanted to kind of say and get across.
Well, as I've been reading about you, it says that you are a Native American artist, but you're a contemporary artist, mm-hmm. and you're not a traditional artist. And tell us what you mean by that.
So I work predominantly in installation, video, sculpture, photography. And so those are definitely disciplines that are not the norm when you think about Native American art. Like I said, my dad was a jeweler, and so I grew up going to different shows and exhibits and markets with him when he was selling jewelry, like Santa Fe Indian Market's a big one that he hits every year. And there were a lot of people doing work like kind of more traditional painting, pottery, basket weaving, carvings, and things like that. And once I got to college was when I really started to see what was happening in the trajectories of, you know, Latin American art history and African American art history. And it really made me question why I wasn't seeing the same types of media being used within the growing trajectory of Native American art. And why didn't I see tons of video artists and installation artists? There were some, but it wasn't the norm by any means. And I think that's where I kind of found my calling, was working in that way. And I also found that as I was working, I was able to kind of be more free. It didn't come with baggage. I felt like, you know, if I worked with clay, it would come with the baggage of, and I don't mean that kind of negatively, because I mean, definitely people are able to use clay in contemporary ways with, you know, a newer vocabulary. But for me, it was constrictive to be working with kind of those more traditional mediums.
Do you feel like you offend other Native American artists by saying that or thinking that way?
I don't know. I don't think so. And if I do, I think that's just something we have to be willing to evolve. We have to be willing to grow. And it's not that I don't respect what they do, but we have to be able to speak several different languages as a people and not be confined into what I think a lot of the Western world has defined as Native American art. We should be creating our own definitions and drawing our own boundaries, if there are any.
What is your why? Why do you do what you do? What motivates you and inspires you?
When I think about what I wanted to do, I thought about law school, which is kind of the thing to do for a lot of Native, young Natives coming up in the world, you know, defending land, defending sovereign rights of tribal nations, and which is what my husband does. But I realized that there weren't a lot of people doing this, of working within kind of contemporary disciplines and saying, yes, I'm Native American. This is Native art. I think that's why I'm so making sure that that's always the definition of kind of who I am, is a Native artist doing this, because I want to grow those boundaries. And I see kids, you know, other, you know, younger artists coming up, and I'm so excited because they're going even further. They're doing different things. They're incorporating animation, you know, virtual reality. And that's exactly what we want, is we want the artistic voice of Native peoples to grow. We want that trajectory of Native American art history to be long and be flourishing and be full. And so that's why I do what I do, is because I want to be a part of that. I want to help grow that and make sure that we're not diminished to just doing only a few art forms.
Do you work with young Native Americans?
I have, yeah. I try to incorporate kind of community, even if it's not specifically like local community, but communal people across like the nation in terms of Native Americans. And so that's, I do a lot of collecting of data, and I put that in quotes, with using SurveyMonkey or Facebook or the internet and things like that. Definitely anytime I interact with young Native artists, I try to be as supportive and as useful as I can to them.
How do you see your culture evolving and growing and hanging on to their traditions? Do you think that's been a struggle, and the young Native Americans going to college having an identity crisis?
I mean, I'm one voice in this, you know, a multitude of people. You know, I'm coming from a tribe, you know, amongst, you know, over 500 different tribes. But I think for the most part, that's something that many natives struggle with, is kind of working through the modern world, but also maintaining a strong tie to their cultural identity and senses. And it's not easy. Definitely not easy. But I think that people are making their way through and figuring that out. I think in the past, you know, 10, 20 years, academic institutions have been much more supportive, you know, with the progress of, you know, Native American studies and Native American interests in specifically like history or art history, and even like the integration into the sciences and whatnot. And so I think that we're seeing institutions supporting that. And so you have students that are more willing to kind of do that. Even with integration within law schools or medical schools, you see people that are able to be really successful in putting those two things together. There's a surgeon. She's the first Navajo surgeon. Her name is Laurie Arviso, Dr. Laurie Arviso Alvord. And she was a real pioneer in that way of integrating Western medicine with Navajo cultural beliefs and creating, finding a balance between those things. And so I think she's been somebody who has done that in medicine, but you can see the success in that can be brought to other ways of working as well.
Well, what do you think is going to be your future project? What are you looking forward to?
So another big project that I have coming up is for a show in Flagstaff, Arizona, and it's dealing with abandoned uranium mines. There are over 400 abandoned uranium mines on the Navajo Reservation alone, hundreds more out west, just in various places. And so the problem of kind of leaving these uranium mines kind of open to where they're not even necessarily cordoned off from locals, how it's, you know, kind of influenced like use of the land, use of water, livestock, just the people in general in those spaces. That's something that I've been thinking a lot about. That's something the group of artists came together and kind of discussed last November. So it's something that I'm trying to kind of get through, and I'm creating a video installation for that piece. And a lot of that is going to come out of my own kind of personal history with uranium, which is the largest radioactive spill that ever happened in the U.S. Happened actually 4 months after the Three Mile Island spill. And it happened in Church Rock, New Mexico, which did not receive much press at all. Tens of thousands of material was released into the Rio Puerco River out of one of the holding ponds at the uranium mine in 1979. And where this happened abuts the land of my family on the Navajo Reservation. And so there have been very real repercussions from that in our family. So I'm just kind of exploring all of those things for the next few weeks and probably the next couple of months, and putting together a piece kind of dealing with all of that. A little bit heavier in different ways than the eclipse.
Oh, absolutely.
But very interesting. So.
And making a social statement.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you for coming. Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. I'm Emmy DeGrappa. This Think Why podcast is brought to you by the Wyoming Humanities. We use the humanities as a lens to explore the human experience. You can find us online at thinkwhy.org.